creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary in his understanding. No one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This may be one of the best known and most beloved passages from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, and it's the sort of passage that you not only want to see, you know, framed and on the wall, it's the sort of passage that you want framed in your heart somewhere. It's the sort of passage that in times of trouble or grief, in times of sorrow or loss, in times of fatigue or confusion, we would want to have those words echo inside of us. This is actually one of the readings that's suggested by the prayer book for a funeral service. And if you could think of a time that is more poignant and more filled with hope and longing, with sadness and sorrow, with fatigue and tiredness and confusion. I mean, a funeral is, I mean, that's the moment for most families. And what do they hear in this time of loss and sorrow and grief? What are they reminded of, perhaps when they have seen a loved one grow weaker and weaker and weaker, to suffer and get sicker, to waste away, and to finally die? They are reminded that no matter how worn out we become, whether through age or disease in our bodies, whether through the stress of our minds and emotions, whether we are young or old, if the burden that we carry on us makes us stumble and fall, makes us gasp for breath and wonder if we can keep putting one foot in front of the other, then be reminded that the Lord is the everlasting God. He who is the creator of the heavens and the earth does not grow tired. He does not grow weary. He will give strength. He will give power. When you hope in Him, He will renew you. The suffering and this loss, it's not the end. This difficulty and hardship, it's not the end. These stressors or anxieties, this sickness or disease, this sorrow, even this death, this is not the end. For when we hope in the Lord, He will renew our strength. Even those who are gasping for breath in Christ might soar on wings like eagles. They may run and run and run and never stop and never fall down and never wear out. They can walk and walk and walk, and they will not be faint, and they will not stumble, and they will not fall. Oh, well, good. That means that as long as I hope in God, that I'm going to feel great and everything's going to work out. Super. I was wondering about that because today I was kind of running around a lot and I was a little worn out. All I needed to do was hope in God and then wings of eagles. Not so much. Any time that there is, you know, the parish annual meeting or there's some kind of event, there's always that crush of last-minute things to do, things that either can't be done until the last moment or things that you thought you had done but you don't realize you didn't do until the last moment, or things that people just give you for no reason at all other than you look like maybe you want one more thing to do at the last moment. And so with a little bit of running around this morning, with a little bit of trying to make sure that all the different pieces of the puzzle are going to come together and that all the wheels are turning appropriately, this is the sort of morning that I might feel a little weary This is the sort of moment. I mean, I don't faint. We did that a few weeks ago. But a morning where I might worry about stumbling and falling. I might worry about not feeling God's power or feeling God's strength. So what's the deal? What are we supposed to make of this? Aren't we supposed to flap our wings and fly? Hoping in God and it makes us soar and everything's going to work out and no one will ever be tired again. Well, yeah, but no. This is a promise of God, but it's not a promise that we will necessarily possess at any given moment or even here and now. For us and for this world to reside in the palm of God's hand is to say that no matter what happens to us, we cannot leave His fellowship or His protection or His care or His love in life or in death, in sickness or in health. For rich or for poor, it's like being married, but worse, because it never ends. No, it's good, it's good. These are words of eschatological promise. These are words that say, whether it happens in this life or in the life to come, God Almighty Himself will be your comfort and strength. God Almighty Himself will be the one who lifts you up when you stumble and fall. God Almighty Himself will bring you to that place where, as the book of Revelation reminds us, there's no more tears or sighing, no more crying. God Himself will wipe away every tear. And living water will flow and refresh and renew forever and forever and forever. Oh, okay, so you're saying that I will get tired and everything about hoping in God is good only when I'm dead. Not really. That's kind of the fun part about following Jesus. Always a little bit of an adventure here. That these promises aren't good. These promises are eternal. These promises may be offered here and now. There are times where I have the feeling that if you're anything like me, you felt like you were going to run into. If you're anything like me, you felt like you had sort of loose footing and you were about ready to tip from one side to the other. If you were like me, you maybe felt faint or weak. Anything other than flying like an eagle. But then the Lord didn't let you stay there. Some way, somehow, He renewed you. Some way, somehow, He encouraged you. Some way, somehow, He empowered you. Some way, somehow, the grace of Christ was good. Even in that moment, how do I know that? Because you're not dead yet. Whatever that problem was, did not lay you so low that you stayed there forever because you managed to come here this morning. Whether that time of crisis or difficulty was mere moments ago or years in your past, you were not left there. But the mercy of God brings you forward even into the present. The grace of God picks you up when you've fallen down flat on your back and carries you if necessary. Drags you if that's the way it has to be. But that the Lord has offered to you maybe not what you've asked for, maybe not even what you've wanted, but what you've needed every single time. To be perplexed but not crushed. To be in sorrow but not given to despair. To feel like you were at your lowest. And yet, even in the depth of that valley, that wasn't the end. The Lord lifted you up, whether a little or a lot. And he has not let any of us go from the palm of his hand. So don't worry so much about stumbling and falling. He will pick you up. Don't worry so much about running and growing weary. He will give you strength. Don't worry so much about keeping on and feeling faint. For the Lord has promised to renew us again and again and again and again. All right, that's not so bad. I liken it to what we see in our gospel. Jesus has called his first disciples. Jesus has spoken at the synagogue. And now, he starts to travel. They wind up first at Simon Peter's house. And his mother-in-law's there. I love this passage. I love this passage. It's funny to me. Because she's sick with a fever. And, I don't know, but that's, I mean, serious. This is very serious, especially, you know, a long time ago, and can't run to CVS, and no one's going to fill a prescription for you, and there's no antibiotics, and there's no Tamiflu. I mean, if you have a fever, this can be very, very serious, and she's ostensibly an older woman. If she, you know, has grown children who can be married to a disciple, all that kind of stuff, so she's there, and she is too sick to do anything. I mean, Jesus has come into the house, and she's too sick to even get up, so it must be a pretty big deal, and Jesus heals her. He takes her hand, and he helps her up. And I find the simplicity, the almost off-handed nature to which this little miracle is described to be kind of fun, and to be pretty cool. She is so sick, she cannot even sit up and get out of bed. All Jesus does is take her by the hand and lift her up. The fever is gone and up she comes. Okay? And that's awesome because she's been healed, and through Christ there is healing not just for our souls but even for our bodies and for our infirmities and for our struggles. I love the simplicity that there's no alakazam or just kind of sort of lifts her up. Well, what's better than that? And I get to work. Now, we have no sense that Jesus told her to get to work, but what does she do as soon as she's healed? She gets to work. You know, she goes and she waits and serves these guests that she has in her home. And that, you know, that principle of hospitality is very, very important. But ultimately, we see something about the nature of this woman's character. As soon as I'm feeling better, I want to take care of somebody myself. The only reason it was stopping me before is I physically couldn't do it. As soon as I physically could, I did. Okay, I kind of like that. But I think it's telling also in a way for us. We can hear the passage from Isaiah and say, "Oh yes, Lord, I am so faint and weary. Give me strength. Yes, Lord, I stumble and I fall. Please lift me up. I want to soar as with wings of eagles." And what happens when he does? What happens when prayers are answered? What happens when God listens to our cries and he really does renew you? You are there laid low and he grabs you by the hand and he lifts you up. I think we ought to use that in work. Get right back to it. The temptation is either to celebrate in your restoration and do nothing with it, or simply forget all about it. A fever's probably going to break anyway. You know, whatever God, you know, he answered me because I felt like I was at my lowest, but, you know, easy come, easy go. I was probably due for an upswing anyway. You either kind of deny what God has done, that God himself has had mercy on me. And he has lifted me up when I felt like I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. Or you get so excited about, look at what I've done to me, look at da-da-da-da-da, that you don't do anything with it. And neither fulfill the purposes of God. That his healing comes to bring him glory, but it also comes that we might work. And that's not necessarily, oh, I've got to go back to work. I really could use a doctor's note for tomorrow. It's not that kind of work. I mean, whatever it is that he has given you to do, so that his kingdom might be built, that his name might be glorified, that other people in need might be served. He serves you. You then serve others. You have been sick and he has healed you. Go bless those who are in need as well. You couldn't get up out of bed? He lifted you up. Use that gift well. Don't deny it. And don't focus in on it so much that you can't do anything good with it. My tenuous connection then between our passages and parish in the week, I think is simply that. There's good times and bad. There's highs and lows. In your life and in the life cycle of an organization like a parish, there are weeks and months and even years where everything is just coming up roses and everything we touch turns to gold. And there are times, days, weeks, months, and years, and everything that we touch turns to nonsense and junk. And people start bringing us junk just because, you know, we've clearly you started a pile. I thought, what's more? The down times, we do not lose hope. For we reside in the palm of God's hand, and he can restore us and renew us. On the upswings, we give thanks to God for that upswing, and then we use it faithfully and well. Not just to say, ah, look what God's done, and not to say, ah, you know, things go up and down, it was bound to happen anyway, but to take that blessing and to use it more, to go bless others, to go build his kingdom, to go honor and glorify his name in our lives, in our neighborhood, in our community, through this place, through its programs, inside, outside, top to bottom. That's my tenuous connection. Hopefully it's not so tenuous. In our times of need, God answers. In our times of plenty, God has provided. So in season and out, in good times and in bad, in valleys and in mountaintops, honor the one who has blessed you, who has kept you, who has redeemed you and now renews you, and use what he has given you to glorify his name, to build his kingdom, and to bless others. If you're sick, call upon the name of Jesus, and he can lift you up. If you have been made well, how about we get to work?